good. Man, that's good. Lauren, how you doing, buddy? I guess I better put my mic on, huh? I was so overwhelmed by the three girls singing and the boys in the band. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I am fully convinced, all right? I had a grandfather problem. Are y'all watching me put my mic on? It's okay, we'll be all right. I had a grandfather problem on Friday. You ever do that? I guess you haven't yet, but you will plenty of times, as long as you live long enough. Tracy was caring for her three boys under the age of four, and Mom and I stopped by. It was sort of our date day, I guess date morning this week, but Tracy needed some Tide for laundry, and I guess, you know, I teased her all the time. I said, you know, the third one's no problem. You're already set with two. Just kind of pile them in, you know. But as my wife has taught me over the years, that when the third one comes, the laundry piles up. So I had sympathy for my daughter. So I said, I'll go later for you. So about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm at Ralph's at Cali Mayor and PCH, not that the location matters at all. Just filling you in. So I get to the detergent aisle, and I walk down the detergent aisle, and she wants me to get her Tide. And I stop, and I look. Well, let me show you what I saw. So I'm supposed to get Tide. And then I walked, just to fill you in, about 8 feet to my left, and this was pick two. What the heck am I supposed to do? So I send her both of these pictures, and my sweet, sweet daughter says, surprise me. She didn't care. So that was my day on Friday. Well, today's theme, being found out, the real message today is don't eat potato chips in front of the doctor, right? Real message. A mother ran into the bedroom when she heard her 7-year-old son scream. And, you know, a mom gets to know the screams of her kids, when they need to be concerned and when they don't need to be concerned. And this one was a concerning scream. And she found her 2-year-old sister pulling his hair. She gently released the little girl's grip and said, trying to comfort the boy. She said, honey, there, she didn't mean it. She doesn't know that it hurts. He nodded in acknowledgement, and she left the room. And as she's going down the hall, the little girl screamed. Rushing back in, she said, what happened? Little boy says, she knows now. She knows now. She knows now. Be warned. Be warned. And certainly in today's message, there's a warning for us that want to live our lives close to Jesus. And it's going to be very clear as we move through the text. And not in a huge way, and it's not about you and me today, although maybe a little bit it is. And you'll get it as we move through things. So let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you that we can worship you in this room and sing beautiful songs together and try to communicate our love to you, our desire to follow you and to live close with you. And I would just pray that you grab each of our hearts in a tender, loving way. And Jesus, we welcome you into this room. We ask you to be our leader, our teacher. We want to learn to be closely connected to you. We don't want to just believe. And I pray that for my life and my friends, that we would pursue that with all that we're worth. So take us now with truth. Touch us. Teach us. Impact our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we're in a series entitled Journey with Jesus, if you're new with us. And we're working our way through his life chronologically, step by step, through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as the best we can. And we're taking our time, certainly. We're spending 6 or 7 weeks in the Last Supper, because there's so many great events. To just teach it all at once would be such a waste, at least in my mind. And our hope is, as I mentioned in our prayer, to not just understand more about Jesus factually. We certainly want to do that as we grow and learn. But we want to get to a place where we know, you know, that you not only believe in him, but that you want to be close to Him. You want your life connected to Him, that you see benefit in that when you make that choice. And whatever you can do, whatever steps you can take to put your life closer to Him, you're willing to take. Not because I tell you to, but because you've decided that. I don't mind challenging along the way. I don't mind leading the pack as best I can. But if that ever happens in your life, it's because you decide. Because you decide. Really what we're talking about is how to make Him the love of your life. And there's lots of loves in our life, lots of things we enjoy, we cherish, and we give our time to. Being found out is frightening to many. That's what we're going to talk about today. Just the thought of it, you go, oh, who wants to get caught with their hand in the cookie jar or jelly bean jar? It's to be avoided at all costs for lots of people. And someone way more famous than I said, you're only as sick as your secrets. And you know, there's some truth in that, most certainly. All of us have secrets, though. We all know that. We all know that. And today, someone's going to be found out. And you probably know who the someone is because you guys peek ahead. I know you. But not everybody in the room is going to figure it out. And that is part of what fascinates me with this message, and you'll see that. But before this night is over, this Thursday, in the life of Jesus, of the last week of His life here on earth, everyone's going to know about this guy. Everybody's going to know. Maybe not in today's little episode completely, but there are a number of lessons in this story. And the biggest is Jesus already knows everything, and He still loves you, and He still wants you, and He wants to help you. That's what amazes me. When I see people that are far away from God, and I just think, Jesus loves them just as much as He loves me. Now, He enjoys the fact that I'm connected to Him, that I believed in Him, that I moved my life towards Him. Bless you, Kenny. I have my shoes shine now. So he loves that, and He wants that for everybody. Now, by the way, if you're new with us and you sit on the front row, I will never do that with you. You got to be here for some years. But those of you that have been here, you know I'd probably do it to you. But never a lady. Never a lady. Only the guys. Okay? I just want to make that clear. Well, being close to Jesus has benefits. That's part of the message. You're going to see that in a couple different ways. Number one, first off, Jesus faces emotions and shares why. And we touched on this a bit last week. Remember, Jesus eagerly desired this meal with His guys. And it was filled with emotion was the thought that was going on. We see emotions today for a totally different reason. And the big message here is that life, their lives and our lives as well, they're filled with emotions. And emotions are beautiful. God gave them to them. Some people try to shut them down to try to gain control over them. Emotions are beautiful. They're hard sometimes. They're uncomfortable. But emotion is beautiful. And sometimes it's difficult. There are concerns in life that we have that aren't going to go away. They just aren't. Difficulties that we face, pressures that we face, and we're stuck with it. And if it gets too hot and too high in terms of pressures and difficulties, we kind of get overwhelmed. And we all have been. And we all kind of know we will be. It's just a reality of life. Jesus faced all this in a major way. And I know this is small, but it's a big deal to me. And it ought to be a big deal to you that He understands you. He gets you. So when Jesus says He wants to be close, He wants to be personal, He wants to be your friend, this is part of the picture. And we get to see Him as 100% man, 100% God at the same time, having deep emotions, because He does here, for a totally different reason than before. What are we talking about? John chapter 13, verse 21, in the middle of the Last Supper. After He had said this, after He had reassured the guys during dinner, Jesus was troubled in spirit. And this may not seem like a big deal, but it's communicating what was happening in the heart, the life, the emotions, the mind, all that Jesus is. It was happening in Him. He faced this. Trouble literally means to agitate. So Jesus, in some way, was agitated. He was moved. He was restless. He was uneasy. He was stirred into action inside. And you know this emotion. If somebody challenges you and you don't feel like they should be challenging you, I don't know if that would make you troubled in spirit, but somebody confronts you and, you know, you get that little feeling on the inside. No, not you, just me. I thought I was among friends. this sensation can range anywhere from subtle to intense. And you know that. And your heart starts beating. Your face might get flushed. The hair on the back of your neck begins to stand up. And some would just call that anger. But this is emotion. This is troubling. Something's going on. There's fear involved here. It's internal and it's very real. And we all know it. Jesus was, and I love the picture that he actually felt that. So when I'm troubled in spirit, Jesus gets me. And when I come to him when I'm troubled in spirit, rather than trying to face it alone, he's loved. I make my life available to him. I don't pull it back and say, I'm going to handle this one. See that, baby? I know it's not very impressive. But it's all I got. It's all I got. So Jesus was troubled in spirit, and he testified. He speaks about what's troubling him now. Very truly, I tell you. So he grabs the attention here. Truly, truly. Whenever you see this kind of phrase, you put a red light, blinking light on it. It's a big deal. He says, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to betray me. Now, there's only 12 people in the room and Jesus. So Jesus is telling them publicly, at this dinner, after a lot of stuff has already happened, one of you who's lived and served with me and with us for 3 years, who had their feet washed by Jesus, who heard all the teaching, who saw and experienced all the miracles along the way, is a traitor, is a betrayer, is dishonest. This is a bomb in the room, folks. This is heavy stuff. This is over the top for Jesus. Because they knew Jesus spoke truth. They saw him for 3 years. He's not playing with them. He's not joking with them here. Number two, the disciples had no idea who it was. Had no idea. They had no clue who the betrayer was. You would think, after 3 years, that people would know. That there'd be a... You just have a sense of, sometimes the truth is we think we know about things or about people, when in reality, we don't have a clue. In the lives of other people, you never know what the story is going on behind the scenes. And we can't all spill out on each other the hurts, the harms, the fears. You just can't. Your best friends, maybe a few. And they don't even get all of it. Your mate doesn't know everything about you. Probably a good thing, men, in some ways. Are you following me? I almost just got in trouble and I decided not to. See, that is me following Jesus. John 13:22. His disciples stared at one another. I mean, he dropped a bomb in this room. And they start staring at one another, looking around the room, with accusing eyes, I would imagine. Fearful eyes. Thinking it has to be him. No, him. I'd put my money on him. I mean, you know, they're just guys. They're like us. Look at John 13:22 again. So they started looking around the room at a loss to know which of them he meant. Apparently, there were no outward signs. And this gives us a picture of Judas, as we'll talk about. Mark's take on this event, look at verse 19 in chapter 14. They were saddened. So he brings up another emotion that the guys were feeling. They felt like their heart was hurt because of what he was saying. They were grieved in their spirit. And one by one, down the line, they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." Looking Jesus in the eye, fearful. Could it be me? Could it be me? Even Judas denied being the guy. And that's what, as we're going to see, part in this story unfolds. Liars continue to lie. And if you've got a lying problem in your life, we've all lied. Let's get that straight in this room. You've been alive too long to not have lied. Maybe not in a mean-spirited way, but we're people, we're humans, we're limited. But if you're a liar and it's regular in your life, you got a huge problem, because it comes from the father of lies. Lying is so unhealthy and so horrible. Now, there's stories you may not want to share, but to lie to get away with something, you got to nip that and nip it now. It's part of the story. But what I find interesting here is there's no hand in the air. I know who it is. I mean, this is a big deal what he said. No one went, it's Judas. It's Judas. It's him. I knew it all along. I never did like you. You're busted, dude. You know, nobody did that. And you would think after 3 years together, all that they did, living together, they would know. It shows what a good hypocrite Judas was. He was sneaky. He was a good faker. He knew how to sing the songs. He knew how to look faithful on the outside when the inside wasn't. And when we see things like that, he was a regular attender. Did you know that regular attendance at church will never get you to heaven? Only Jesus will. But I want to encourage you to regularly attend. Feel free. Feel free. But that's just true. And we get a snapshot of who Judas was here. He was good. He's really good. Now we have a little politics going on. Number three, Peter wanted to know, John found out. Peter wanted to know, John found out. Peter once again speaks up. Anybody surprised? Anybody surprised? Peter's on a hunt to find out who it is that is the betrayer. Maybe to deal with him. I don't know, beat him up. I'm not sure, but you know Peter. He was always right in the middle of everything. And you got to love this because it tells he's a type A personality. He's dominant. He would view himself as a leader, and he was the leader. And Jesus used that leadership later. He had that can-do attitude. I admire Peter. He wasn't the smartest guy in the room ever, but he was always willing. You know, and when you're willing, sometimes you show how dumb you are, but at least you're willing. You know, at least that's what I think. I mean, sometimes when I look out at this room and I know who you guys are, educators, doctors, lawyers, I think, what the heck? Successful businessmen, incredible musicians, a teaching professor. I could go on and on. What the heck are you doing listening to me? How? There is something wrong in this room. All right, I just want to make that clear. John 13, 23. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, this is a veiled announcement of who this is. This is how John refers to himself in the book of John that he wrote. Humility, maybe, I'm not sure, but that's how he describes himself. Peter would have put, Peter, you know me, the big guy with the hairy chest, all right? Okay, one of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Now, one of the pictures here I like is John was very different from Peter in personality. Can I say this? John was a hugger. Peter didn't have those 10-second hugs. They're just different, and I love the picture of that. We're all different in the way we're built, in the way we were raised, and it's okay. There's not one somebody that you need to aspire to. If you can become the best you can be, that's where you represent Jesus the best. You don't ever have to compare yourself to somebody else. You don't ever have to become like somebody else. You be you and be the best you can be. Representative. But he was reclining next to him. Verse 24, Simon Peter motioned to the disciple, John. These two were buds. We know that. They were in the elite group, the top three closest guys to Jesus. And said, ask him which one. And I sense he didn't do this out loud. This was a side conversation going on. Ask him which one he means. Because he knew John had access. Because John loved Jesus more than everybody else, is sort of displayed in the Bible over and over and over again. And I want to ask you, why don't you try to be John? Now you said, Jim, I'm not supposed to aspire to, I'm supposed to be the best me I can be. But you can admire John. He loved Jesus with all that he was. And it's interesting to see John's life. He lived the longest. I don't know that I can connect those two, but there's something to be said about that. Loving Jesus, honoring him. And he did that in a special way. But they were buds and said, ask him which one. And verse 25 says, leaning back against Jesus. And what the picture is here, he laid his head on his chest in a very affectionate, beautiful way. And I, just for fun, okay? Watch. This is kind of what happened. We're in a big room of people. There's 200 plus of you. Hey, I'm whispering now. Carlos. did you know that Kansas City won the World Series? Now, you didn't hear that because I whispered to him, right? Oh, I have a mic on. But that's what happened. This is exactly what happened. He asked him, Lord, who is it? Which guy is going to betray you? They're in this room with 13 human beings, and one that is God as well. Verse 26, Jesus answered, looking at John, apparently in a whisper, like I just did to Carlos. And you're going to see why in a minute. It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. So Jesus gave John this info, gave him a heads up of who it's going to be ahead of time. And there are benefits in being close to Jesus. And I'm not saying you're going to hear things that others don't. But at the same time, you're going to have a relationship with him that others don't. It's part of the reality of life. You get to have as much of Jesus as you want. It's all your choice. 100%. Nobody else's. Verse 26 continues. Then dipping the bread, the piece of bread. Now, what is he dipping in? What's he dipping in? It would have been a mixture, as we talked about a few weeks ago, about what happened in the preparation time, of herbs, vinegar, water, salt, crushed dates, figs, and raisins. It's kind of a Passover meal that temple-going Jews would understand, that would be mixed together in a it would all be like a paste substance that they would dip the bread in. And for us, just think of guacamole. Now, they didn't have guacamole, please understand. But you dip in guacamole. I know you. All right. He gives it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. This was a sign that he gave to John just a moment ago, what he told him. Now, something to think about here in this little passage is when a dipped piece of bread is given to somebody by a host, it was considered an honor to experience this. This was a special moment for Judas. Now, I know the whole storyline. I get it. To the others, Jesus was honoring Judas right at this moment. It would have been viewed as an act of love from Jesus to Judas. Now, Jesus could have, and probably most of us would have, just called him out, busted him, confronted him, embarrassed him, humiliated him in front of the guys. So he could sort of get his butt handed to him because of what he'd done and what he's doing and what he's going to accomplish. Anybody here ever name your son Judas? We don't like Judas. Microsoft Word always wants to correct his name. You think I'm kidding? Try it. I think it's spelled wrong over and over and over again. Thank you, Mr. Gates. But the Jesus we love, I'm sorry, the Jesus that we love had one last act of love for Judas. And this is beautiful. Trying to win him to the end. The message is he's available to the very end. Jesus will be there if you want him. He'll be there if you want him. But if you say no to him, you're on your own. And you will suffer consequences you don't want to think about. Number four, Jesus tells Judas to go do his deed. Judas passes up his last chance that we just talked about to cry out to Jesus right at that moment. To say no to self, to choose good over evil, to seek forgiveness. In verse 27, as soon as Judas took the bread, his reception of this honor from Jesus to him, at that very moment, Satan entered into him. So the Bible teaches the evil one took control of him, that Judas made a choice here, and Satan took full advantage of it. He stepped right in because the opening was there. Once Judas crossed that line, and he did, of his own accord, he did not cry out to Jesus. So Jesus told him, what you are about to do, do quickly. Go now, do your deed. Go. Knowing full well what it meant. This is the main reason for his troubled heart. He sees things in advance because he's God. We can't do that. People face crossroads regularly. We do in our own life. Not at this level. I'm not saying that at all. We're not gonna deal with this ever physically with being with Jesus. This is huge. But we get to choose every day, good or evil. All of us. In attitude, in action. We get to choose right or wrong. And the reason why we'll pick right over wrong. Because of wanting to honor Jesus. If you just want to get ahead, you do right to get ahead. Well, okay, cool. But if you want to honor Jesus, You do the right thing to the best of your ability over and over and over again. What if, now just what if, Judas had said at that moment when he handed him the bread, "I'm not doing this anymore. Hey," and stood up. And he said, "Jesus, I'm sorry. I've made a huge mistake. I don't want to hurt you anymore. I've not been real. I need to admit something, not just to Jesus, but all you guys, right here, right now." You get to make the choice, and I do every day of my life. Mr. Warren, Rick Warren, you get to make your decisions, and your decisions turn around and make you. And it's just so true for every one of us. Surprisingly, number five, you having fun? You okay? Okay. The disciples are still not aware of Judas. Still not aware. This is why we know Jesus whispered to John, because they still don't get it. Imagine with me, again, just for a moment, what if with me for a second here, he would have whispered this to Peter, not John. We might have had a fist fight at the Lord's Supper. Can you see Peter? It's him. He's going across the table. I can see him. Let me at him. Larry, you're thinking the same thing. Let me at him. Attacking Judas, saying, "I never did like you, you blankety blank," because he's Peter, he's a fisherman. You think I'm over the top? Look at John 13, 28. "But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. About leaving, about going, do what you're going to go and do it quickly." They didn't get what was happening. They didn't get it. They didn't know the future like Jesus did. Verse 29, "Since Judas had charge of the money," we get a little bit of an explanation of why they might have thought that, which is the responsibility that he had among all the disciples. "Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought," they assumed that they knew what was going on, explaining things away. And we humans do that sometimes. We think we know things that we don't know. And it so messes us up in so many ways. And you know, one of the messages here, at least to me, would be, don't waste your time. Don't bother. Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival. That's what they thought. I mean, he is the guy with the money, getting ready for tomorrow, maybe purchasing some sacrifices for Passover tomorrow. They just made assumptions. And it's part of what we do in life. And not all of them are wrong. I'm not saying that. Or they said they thought maybe he was going to give something to the poor. Jesus always cared about the poor. That was his MO for life. He was generous. Life wasn't about him. It was about others and helping along the way. A good lesson for us, certainly learned. And one of the points here is intuitive people can get in trouble here, thinking they can know what's going on, or they can read people, or maybe their skills are superior to other people. Well, they might be. You might be right more times than somebody else might be. The truth is, you can fall in love with your own opinion. You really can. You can jump out ahead of reality. And what you do when you do this is it just messes up your mind. It can start spinning. It's telling tales because you think you're really bright. Are you with me here? Especially if you have a little intuitiveness about you. And it can mess up your emotions. It can mess up your relationships because you're thinking things about somebody that aren't true. I mean, think about that. And think about how many times you've done that in your life. And you've sort of painted a picture that's not reality. The disciples didn't know what was going on. They assumed they were wrong. No harm, no foul. I'm not saying that. There's just a lesson to be learned here. Just a good thing to be reminded of. We are limited. We are fallible. And our thoughts are not the truth, ever. Number six and last. Now Judas leaves Jesus and his friends as we narrate through the passage. This is a defining moment for Judas, which tells the tale of his life. And his departure from Jesus is profoundly sad. It's what it is. Verse 30 in John 13, as soon as Judas had taken the bread at that moment, because he made a decision, he went out after Jesus told him to go. and it was night. So after dark in the evening, we're at Thursday night, and this night has a whole lot more coming, believe me, it's enormous. With Judas in mind, just imagine, just try to imagine, put yourself in Judas's skin. Imagine walking away from Jesus, leaving your best friends, even might have been fake, ignoring everything that he'd seen and heard. Now, let me ask you a question, just for fun, to think through. If you were to sit down and tell me what your relationship was like with Jesus 5 years ago, we'll just pick a date. It could be any time. And you define that in your head, what you'd tell me, in a sentence, not a paragraph, what your relationship was like here 5 years ago. Where was I? What did I believe? How did I function with him? What was important to me about him? Now, today, same thing. And I want to know, is there a difference from there to here that's real? That's you could communicate, that you could grab a hold of. It might be a struggle, but if you were in love with him in your own way, and now you're 5 years later and you just go because you kind of have to. The donuts have not gotten any better, but they're always tasty. Don't ever think you can't walk away from Jesus. Don't ever think you can't give up. When I read and study passages like this, it just warns me in my life. I realize I could do this. And what I'm telling you is there's a little Judas in every one of us. Every one of us. And I don't mean to make accusations towards it, but we're just human. And we're fallible. And we're sinners in our reality. And it is a fight every day of our life. And don't ever think you can't in some way do what Judas did. Because it's real. Well, what do we learn? What do we learn? Three quick things. Number one, when Jesus is close, fear takes a back seat. Fear takes a back seat. Most of you know what happens to Judas in the ensuing days. He walked away. At this moment, we just experienced it as best we could in this room. And he faced great fear and grief in his life. And he took his own life. Have you ever had those kind of emotions in your life? Has that ever happened to you where when things like regret surface and you have to deal with them and shame finds a home in your life and it kind of settles in and maybe there's deep sadness over an action recently or far away that you have to deal with? Peter, he's going to have a pretty tough night. I'm not going to tell you the story, but he's here as the champion in this room, right? He's going to have a pretty tough night. He leaves Jesus behind later. And I guess my point is today, the main point of today, at least for me, is determine now, I will never leave Jesus as best you can. That I will never walk away from him, ever. Number two, what you think is going on is often wrong. This is personal. This is about you and about me. And I just saw it in this text, and it was so clear to me. Don't get ahead of yourself in life. It often just produces grief when you do for you and for other people in your relational world. Your opinion on things and people may be right, may be wrong, but it certainly can be either. Don't spend your time and energy on trying to figure out things and people. Don't. Spend your time and energy on loving and serving people. Get busy. Hey, go get tied, even if it's a challenge. When you love and serve people, you're using your life for the best purpose when you serve one another. If you have the privilege of being married to someone, stop thinking about what you get or what you want and start giving them. What do they want? What do they dream about? I ask guys a lot of times when I'm alone with them in the midst of conversation. I don't just start with this right away. I shouldn't be telling you my secrets. But I'll say, hey, tell me about your wife's dreams. And for a lot of guys, it stumps them. Because they aren't spending a lot of time thinking about it because they're chasing their own. And if I asked all the gals in the room right now that are married, do you have a picture of your husband in your wallet? You have a picture of your kids. He's more important than your kids. No, I'm getting in trouble now. I'm going to stop right here. Oh, I felt the heat, Tom. I felt the heat. The guys were okay with it. The girls were not okay with it. Number three. Choose now. You're all going to get pictures of your husband in your wallet, right? Choose now to never leave Jesus. Now, just make the decision. Actually, make this, which you can do, the most important thing in your life. It's what this series is all about. Make this your highest priority above everything. Choose this as your ultimate goal in life, that I'm never going to walk away. I'm not going to exercise that little piece of Judas inside of me. No. Not that you're going to live perfect. That's not the point. And then what I want you to do is I want you to figure out a way in your world to share it with others gently and respectfully with definition, what that looks like. That's sort of your homework today. With trusted friends, I want you to talk about how important Jesus is to you. Because if you actually make that commitment that it's the highest priority in my life, that I am not going to walk away, because you can decide to do anything you want if you're willing to work at it. And you make that decision, it's a big deal. And you ought to be able to talk about it. Talk about what encourages you about Jesus. What touches you? If you're going to love him, if you can never walk away from him, what is it that you like so much that causes you to be able to make that kind of commitment? That's got some strings attached that are beautiful. Talk about when you feel closest to him. Is it when we're singing Oceans here and there's that moment? Maybe it's a different song. Maybe it's when truth is being taught. Talk about, could you ever walk away? What could be a scenario in your mind that could cause you to walk away? What if life gets so difficult and so dark, are you going to walk away from him? What could mess things up for you? Can you say right now, I'm not going to ask you to, but can you say or think, I will never walk away from Jesus? Never. I'm not going to do it. Now, let me ask you a question. What if your mate does, the man or woman that you love? Thumbs down on Jesus for whatever reason. Are you going to walk away? What if they're trying to pull you away? That's not going to happen, but I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. Plan now, determine now who you are, what you believe, and who's most important. And when you do that, it's a beautiful thing. Plant yourself on him. Plant yourself on loving him in with words and with actions. And what you do is you end up taking fear, that all of us have fear. We're human, but we put it in the back seat. It doesn't go away. We're a moment away from fear. Terror can happen. We all get that. You shut it down when you move towards him. Watch this, and then I'll pray about love and fear.
Did you know that the human brain expresses only two fundamental emotions, love and fear? From these two, all other emotions are experienced. As Christians, we're called to live in God's love. But how do we live in love or fear? Humans can have many types of fear. There's the fear of the unknown, pain, death, and fear of choices, just to name a few. When we live in fear, we react to instead of act against our fear. But when we love, we have excitement, generosity, trust, and courage. Love strengthens and empowers, whereas fear weakens and disables. Perfect love, like a light, casts out all fear. For it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Many times, our fears can be irrational. It's like believing in the boogeyman. The devil causes us to become fearful, but God is way bigger. When we give up our fears to God, we can live a full life in love that He has prepared for us. So which will you choose? Fear or love?
Just making you think. That sort of had about a third grade take to it, right? I'm not saying anything about you. Let's pray. Huh? Lord, thank you that we can be in this place together and attempt to learn of you and lean our lives in towards you. And I just pray that as we grab onto truth, as we exercise our freedom to choose, and that each of us chooses you on the highest level possible, that you would bless that, that you would use that in our community and our families, and that we could help others find that beautiful story of you being our best friend, our Savior, our everything. So thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day. Cool.
I like that. That was a good one. I like that.
Oh, you love the truth.
I like that. I'm going to get on the dinner calendar.
Okay? Yeah, I'm in. What I want to do is I want to make it easy. So if we go on Wednesday night, you drop your kids off here, don't you?
My kids are fine at home by themselves. Our crews are older.
Okay, but I'm just trying to think of...
You don't like Fridays? Because I like Fridays.
Well, I do. I don't. Fridays are fun. Well, no, but we hang out all day long. But I'm just saying, I want it more regular than a date. So I'm talking about, you know, the elephant bar. I mean, I don't care where we eat. I just want to be together for an hour and a half. I'm just thinking, we don't have to do that. We can go on a long date. I don't know. I'm in for anything.
So you like Wednesdays?
I don't like Wednesdays. I'm just saying it's just...
We're on Wednesdays. We drop them off and we can go.
Oh, you're on your date, was it? I'm
so
trying.
yeah.
You can kiss and hug. What do you got?
Secret keys.
The key to what?
The desk.
Oh, okay. How you doing, bud? What's happening, man? Yeah, I'll bet. How's the mountain?
It's great.
It's beautiful this time of year.
Everything about it is awesome, except we missed this place so much.
So something happened to me this week. A number of things did, but I feel the need to write a movie that I think would work.
Okay.
And it's different. It's Jesus. It's the stuff I'm teaching, but I think I've got a storyline and a storyboard that I can put together pretty easy that I could communicate, and I'm not sure what to do. I mean, I know a lot of guys write things, and a lot of the lines are delivered, but I got a concept that I think would work, and I'm not sure what to do, whether to act on it or to just kind of let it die. You know what I'm saying?
I say act on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you, when you do it, do you get partners, or if something's stirring in you, do you just go alone?